off, and I'm Baron Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pialafon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 98 years. And we're here today with Emily Heckman, president of the Parent Teacher Student Association, and Nate Mendoza, dean of students, both of Santa Barbara High School. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So I see that, you know, this organization is 100 years old, and, you know, you guys look great for, you're not the founder.
As you know, Santa Barbara High School is one of the oldest high schools in the state of California. And so the PTA, or in our case, the PTSA, the S is for students, has been active at Santa Barbara High School for over 100 years, and we continue on and keep doing everything we possibly can to support the students and teachers and faculty at Santa Barbara High.
Is that typical to have inserted the word student in your name? That, you know, when I was growing up a long time ago, it was the PTA.
Right. No, that's new, and actually we're the only high school in the county that has the student component. Last year we had a student president, and it was the first time in national PTSA or PTA history that there was a student leader. So we feel like it's very important to include the students as our colleagues and equals and collaborators in building family engagement at Santa Barbara High School.
And Santa Barbara High is one of the few schools that I know of that actually has a dean of students.
Good. He's here with us today, and he's new, and we're delighted that he's with us.
But I think both the idea that Parent-Teacher-Student Association has the word student in its name and that you have a dean of students is clearly emblematic of the schools and the district's interest in student welfare. And one of the things that's so interesting about the issue of what's good for the student is when I was growing up, the only thing that mattered was what your grade scores were. Could you read? Could you write? And could you take an exam to get into the next school or college or law school or medical school? Today, we're dealing with all kinds of issues that go far beyond simply, not simply, but far beyond the ABCs. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're finding out as a world is that emotional intelligence is just as important as academics. And so I would assume that one of the roles of the dean of students is to be available to work with these kids and find out how best to serve them.
Yeah, I would say that we have definitely made it clear that our mental health of our students is really the foundation of how they learn, and their mental health is not in the right space, then it's going to be very difficult for them to sit through a 50-minute period and learn in the classroom on a daily basis.
We've had on this show over the last 7 years every type of organization that works with teens, from suicide prevention to drug addiction to learning disabilities, you name it, we've had the people on. And one of the things that they always say is that we work with the teachers because the teachers are the first line of defense. Well, if everyone is saying that, the teachers have a very, very large portfolio that sometimes the parents are assuming that the teachers have the answer to everything. So without the support of all of the professionals that this community provides, it would be a big dark hole that all these other charities would be throwing problems at. So it's great to see that you've got an active Parent-Teacher Student Association and a dean of students that is just focused on the well-being of the kids.
Yeah, to speak to what you just said, Neil, you're right. I mean, there's so much expectation put on teachers and faculty members to be more than just educators. And so we take that very seriously at Santa Barbara High School, and we've been working with AHA to educate our teachers and staff in social emotional intelligence so that they don't burn out and so they can be there and be present for the kids without jeopardizing their own well-being at the same time.
So one of the things that I learned about politics years ago, the most aggressive, active group of people is a mother. If you, as a politician, don't do right by the water meter in your home, you don't get the same reaction that if someone's not doing right by the child. So I would imagine the PTSA has a lot of a clout when it comes to making things happen.
Clout. Yeah, I would say our clout is in that we, the volunteers for the PTSA, are on the ground on campus. So we actually see what's going on, and we interact with the students and the teachers on a regular basis. Today, we hosted a teacher appreciation holiday lunch, and it was an incredible party and celebration and a chance for our teachers to see how much we appreciate what they do. So, yeah, we're the group that's on the ground every day, and we're really trying to position ourselves as a linchpin for family and meaningful family engagement on campus.
How are you on the ground without getting in the way? Do you get pushback, Dean?
Do I get pushback?
No. But does the school ever say enough's enough? You know, we'll see you at the next meeting. But
no, I don't think we. I think we want all the parent support that we can get, and we are so appreciative. And I can speak on behalf of being at two different high schools in our school district, Dos Pueblos and Santa Barbara High, and the parent support is amazing. And we can never get enough parent support.
And the ability for you to engage with the dean and with the other administrators is a two-way street, isn't it? That it is. It's you can tell through this group, all of the parents, what they need to do to make for a better educational environment. Is that true? That there's feedback going both ways?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. It's a very collaborative situation. So, to speak to what you said earlier about are we in the way? So the modern PTSA or the Santa Barbara PTSA, certainly, we're not just, having a bake sale. One of our signature programs, which we launched last year, is a learning enrichment grant program for teachers. And it's designed to offer teachers the financial resources they need to do something off book with their kids and to offer their kids an out-of-classroom peak learning experience. And last year, we gave $20,000 worth of grants to teachers. This year, we're giving $22,000 worth of grants to teachers. So I think they really see us as an ally in helping them to do their job in a way that's more dynamic for everybody involved and to be more collaborative in that way. So we're delighted to be supporting the staff.
And these grants are directed towards programs that they wanted to do or programs that you'd like them to do?
No, they're self-directed by the teachers. We don't make any suggestions, but like, for example, last year we had several teachers take kids to museums who had never been to a museum. We had kids go to a performance at the New Vic who had never seen live theater before. We had the band go to Nevada for a jazz fest. And we provided essential swimming equipment for first-time swimmers. You know, when you're high school age, it can be very intimidating to swim. So we made sure that they had snorkels and fins and masks so that they would actually have a better chance of learning. So we kind of hit every department, academically, physical ed. We took care of a lot of kids with those grants, which was really, really fulfilling for us.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Emily Heckman, president of the Parent Teacher Student Association at Santa Barbara High, and Nate Mendoza, dean of students. So, Nate, what did you do before you became dean of students?
Before I was dean of students, I was actually the dean of students at Dos Pueblos High School for 3 years. And before that, I was a special education teacher. I was the head football coach at Dos Pueblos for 6 years and head baseball coach for 4 years.
And this change is, in a way, is not really that big a change, because when you're a coach and when you're special ed, you really get involved with the kids, not just teaching math.
Yeah, I would say I had a huge advantage being in that field of special education and having a caseload of students that I watched over for 4 years. And also, you really have a caseload of students when you're the coach. You really take on their life and supporting them through life and school. And I've just been so fortunate to have those jobs, because it just really prepared me for the dean of student job.
So when people look at Santa Barbara, they see this very rich, homogeneous community, and yet it is not the case. We're probably, I guess, either the first or second poorest community when it comes to school lunch program. We have more kids percentage-wise than any county on school lunch programs.
That is right.
We have a very large Hispanic community where kids may be afraid to go home because their parents could be taken away. We have some real issues here that are not what the Travel Bureau is advertising. So, let's take a look at some of them. First of all, is the immigration crisis become a real psychological problem for some of these kids?
I would say absolutely. We're dealing with students that are, like you mentioned, very, very scared to face certain things, because maybe their mother or their father might be sent back to Mexico, and we have dealt with many of students in crisis because maybe their mother did actually get sent back on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday, and then now they're back at school on Monday trying to go through a 6-period schedule. So that's something that we're seeing often, and one of the reasons why we have so many mental health supports on our campus.
So do kids feel comfortable about calling you and saying, can I see you?
Yeah, I think that is something that I am in control of. And what I mean by that is I need to build the relationships with the students and the staff. At Dos Pueblos, it was definitely a lot easier because I had been there for 11 years and I was a coach and I was well known, I would say, because I had just been there. So my main objective when I got to Santa Barbara High School was I have to be get known by these students. I have to let them know that, no, I'm not the scary dean that hands out suspensions and discipline all the time. I'm actually somebody that you can go to for support. And I feel like we're starting to get there at our high school where I'm getting students actually coming to my office seeking help, which is really an indicator for me that I'm doing my job and kids are seeing me as a resource and not somebody that's working against them.
And how do you work with a school guidance counselor? Your roles seem to have some kind of overlap.
We do, and I want to really commend the counselors at Santa Barbara High School. They do an amazing job supporting their students, and we have biweekly check-in meetings that we do with the administration team and the counseling team where we get together, and we talk about everything and anything for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and that really helps. And any type of communication that goes out where I might have a parent meeting, or any type of meeting at all, I always involve the academic counselors because we want as many hands on deck that we can get to support our students.
So when I view what it's like to go to high school, which is a horror to me, you know, the idea of going to high school is not exactly going to Paris. The thing that would scare me the most, I think, is bullying. For my kids and for myself. Now, bullying when I was growing up was a towel snap, but today it's much more insidious and it's much more pervasive with computers and iPhones. So how big a problem is it and what can you do about it?
Yeah, we really talk about this thing called digital citizenship. So digital citizenship is something that we are really making our students aware of, and basically what that means is having appropriate citizenship when it comes to everything digitally. So it is something that is very difficult to take on. It gets more difficult every year because students find different ways, different apps, different ways of communication with students. A lot of things happen anonymously, which make things very difficult as well. So it is a tough, I would say, situation to manage when it comes to bullying and social media. But I truly believe, as I saw at Dos Pueblos, that if you can build a very positive and strong climate within your school, you are much less likely to have students bullying each other.
Have you been able to integrate restorative justice techniques into issues like bullying?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the I would say one of my favorite things that I get to witness and facilitate as the dean of students is when we might have a bullying situation when it comes to online bullying, and we get to find the offender and the victim, and we get to come together, and I get to facilitate that meeting where we get to kind of talk it out, and we get to explain why did we do it? What type of harm did we cause to that person? And how can we repair it? I think that sometimes that gets overlooked when we talk about restorative justice. But when I think of restorative justice, I think about how can we repair the relationship along with taking responsibility. And it's a big difference when students are speaking face-to-face rather than through a device.
And how receptive are teachers to that?
Teachers are receptive because what I have seen is if a student misbehaves pretty poorly in a class, if I can get that teacher willing to meet with that student and I can facilitate that meeting or another administrator, it's very powerful because sometimes we just don't know what the students are dealing with in that moment, why they misbehave, because I'm a firm believer, whether it's a truancy issue, a behavior issue, or a mental health issue, there's always a story behind it. Kids, students don't just act irrationally and misbehave for no reason. I always say if a student is acting out, that means they are acting out for a reason. That means they need support.
You know, we had as a guest, I guess it was about 2 months ago, the police woman who was in charge of the teen program for the probation department.
Sure.
And, you know, she says her job is to keep people out of the system.
Sure.
And one of the things that is so important about what you do is you intervene before it gets to the point where they're expelled.
Yes.
Because that doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I am always thinking about how can I be proactive and be preventative in regards to that. So even if we do have to do a suspension with a student, immediately I'm trying to figure out what was the root cause that caused this suspension, and now how can we support this student through services? So we actually have been very fortunate in our school district to have a pretty new system in place called our mental health referral system. We're basically offering our students mental health support through this referral system.
And the mental health, I forgot the name of the group, the mental health something, they were on about 3-4 months ago, and they have been in all the high schools. I'm sure you know who they are. And one of the things that they've tried to do is to make other kids aware of mental health issues to the extent that not only are they compassionate and have empathy, but are able to feel that they can talk to someone about their friend without feeling that they're a rat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that kind of leads into what the whole mental health referral system that we have. We are promoting it in a way that we are really asking teachers to identify students, but more importantly, their peers, the students that go to class with each other. They know best about what students are struggling. So again, if you can build a climate of trust and connection amongst your school, you will have students basically going to administrators or using our anonymous app, which is called the Stop It app, where they might report that so-and-so, their friend, could use counseling or mental health support. That allows us to start the mental health referral for that student. So you're absolutely correct.
Does that happen? Do people actually report on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I see that time and time again that our most important referrals, not most important, but our students that are in the most need come from teachers and most importantly the friends and students that go to school with them. They're the ones that see these students throughout the whole school day and are really able to identify students in need.
Speaking of problems, one of the things that's in the news today and every day is the whole vaping crisis.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's more difficult to monitor than smoking. And it's really become a problem, not just in terms of the idea that you shouldn't smoke because it's bad for you, but the vaping could actually kill you right away.
Yeah. I think one of the huge issues with the vaping situation is we don't have research on it right now. Research is just starting to happen, so therefore we don't actually have all the data on what the aftermath, the effects of vaping. So I think we're in the middle of that. We're seeing that across our country, students that have passed away, unfortunately, people that have passed away due to vaping. So it is a huge epidemic, not only in our area, but across the entire United States.
So when you look at all of the things that are on your plate, it could become overwhelming. And one of the things I ask people who are involved in mental health, and in a way you are, do you ever find yourself going home shaking your head? How do you keep your psyche from just becoming overwhelmed?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that a lot, just about, you know, you have to take care of yourself. And I believe in that. But I guess for me, I am so passionate about this work, so passionate that I gave up coaching, which for me, that was my main thing. That's what I loved. I thought I was going to be a football coach for another 30, 40 years. I gave this up and I absolutely love this. So though I might have a difficult day, the way I look at it is I was able to get that student support. I was able to get that student connected with something that's going to change the trajectory of their life. So for me, I go home a lot of the time thinking, wow, I feel so good that I was able to play a role in changing that student's life. And I try not to take too much of their trauma onto me. It's very difficult to do. But again, I think it really helps that I love what I do. I don't look at it as a drain. I never look at it as, oh, here comes another student, or wow, that was such a busy day. I always look at it as, wow, we were able to help so many kids today.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton, and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa, and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, Improving Attitude, Creating Social Harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Emily Heckman, president of the Parent Teacher Student Association at Santa Barbara High School, and Nate Mangdozer, who's dean of students at Santa Barbara High School. So before the break, we were touching on the issue of mental health resources, and how teachers are being looked at as one of the first line of defense and offense. So tell us more about some of the resources that you use.
Yeah, sure. I want to first off commend really Dr. Wagenick, our assistant superintendent of student services, who put this together a couple years ago. We got a huge grant from the Cottage Hospital that allowed us to basically get true mental health professionals on our campuses. So far this year through that mental health referral process, we have had 162 mental health referrals put in. Through this referral process, we have an agency called Family Service Agency on our campus. So we have two therapists on our campus that will take those referrals, and they will then go through a process where they do a whole screening on the students to decide what is the appropriate service for the student. Sometimes it shows up as a depression issue. Sometimes it shows up as they lost a family member, so we need to get hospice involved, or it might be a substance issue. But on our campus, we have two FSA therapists. We also have a worker from hospice that's there 3 days a week. We have students that are losing family members, friends, constantly, not to mention what we went through, obviously, with the mudslides a few years ago and the support that students needed on our campus for that. We also have a family advocate that works with Family Service Agency, and what that family advocate does is they work with the families to provide the parents with therapy, because sometimes we forget that though we're helping the students, sometimes the people that need the most help in that family are those parents. The parents can't be valuable, productive parents if their mental health isn't in a position that is appropriate for the students. So we do have those on our campus, along with a couple youth outreach workers, Ali Cortez, Ismael Huerta, and also Carrie Anderson. So those are all additional resources that we have on our campus. And again, when they go through that screening process, I think it's amazing that they screen. They do an assessment called the ACE-Q, and it takes you through your life, and it goes through all the trauma that you've gone through in your life. And that's something that I think we forget, what the trauma as a child kind of has manifested in itself, and what's that showing up as a teenager and as an adult. So, again, I want to give huge kudos to Dr. Wagenick for really starting this process. And now it is in all of our schools in the Santa Barbara Unified School District. It started off more at the secondary schools, and now it's at all the schools across the board. So it's really amazing.
Well, I can tell you, at my age, I still complain about when my mother took my stuffed animal away when I was 6 years old. So I'm not sure that anger ever goes away. So we talked about what you mentioned, parents. And I imagine that because what you do, Emily, is so important to everybody's child, that you have 100%
membership of every parent in the school. What's the percentage of how many parents do you have as members?
Oh, I wish we had 100% participation. So officially we have somewhere around 250 to 300 paying members. You pay a $12 membership fee to join the PTSA, and most of that $12 goes up through the ranks of the regional, state, and to the national PTA office, which is fine. But we do have so many volunteer opportunities, and we're continuing to build them and to create them on campus. So we are looking for, you know, as much parent involvement and engagement as we can get. And I think going forward in the new year, we're going to really put together with, in conjunction with Principal Dr. Elise Simmons and Nate and Maria Jimenez, our family engagement person, a plan. We're going to create a formal family engagement plan to create a more porous and collaborative community on campus for the kids so that parents feel like they can come on campus. You know, it's interesting. I remember when my son was in junior high school and they sort of prepped him for high school saying, it's all him when he gets to high school. You know, he's got to take care of everything. Parents have to really take a step back. And now he's a graduating senior and it's sort of turned. You know, now we realize as parents who are involved with the student body and the administration and teachers that we actually need the parents and the families to be more involved in some ways at this juncture instead of less.
How many students are at the school?
We have about right around 2,200.
Okay, so you've got 2,200 students and 250 paying members of parents. That's pretty awful. Given everything you've said so far, it's beyond my comprehension that you don't have 100%. Is that because the message hasn't gotten out? Are people just incredibly short-sighted? Your parents sometimes say, I don't have time to deal with my kids. I have three jobs. I have this or that. But not to be a member of an organization that fights for you seems to be really irresponsible.
Well, I have to say, in all fairness, we have several academies on campus, the Mad Academy, VADA, the Computer Science Academy, and parents who have children in those academies put their time and resources into those academies because they also have foundations. We also have...
But that brings up an interesting point. One of the things, the negative things about academies is this whole call for... is it elitist? Are the resources going to the rich and the very smart, whatever the smart means, where it takes away? It's sort of like charter schools. Are you taking resources away from people who maybe need it the most?
That's a really fair question, and it's one that we're actively grappling with at Santa Barbara High School. I mean, one of the things that we're doing this year, and I think I can speak to this publicly, is we've done away with the ranking system for our graduating class because there were some issues of grade inflation in some of the academies. And so, you know, we decided that that's just not the best way to sort of, you know, support our students.
So how can we get parents to realize that they're being selfish by not paying the $12 a year or just coming to a meeting and put their 2 cents in? You know, this isn't saying you have to make lunch for your kid every day, but it's just the littlest thing. And, you know, maybe this is the problem that we see in the country in a microcosm, that is parents are just not doing what they need to do.
I would actually agree with that. You know, I mean, I think one of the challenges that we face at Santa Barbara High School and I think probably across the county is the bilingual separation of families. You know, there's Spanish-speaking families and the English-speaking families, and it's been very challenging for us to bridge that gap, and it needs to be bridged. Like, the Santa Barbara High School PTSA needs to have Spanish-speaking board members, and we need to have Spanish-speaking leaders step forward, and it's an interesting dilemma, but one that we're also actively working on so that there's broader and better representation for all of our students.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Emily Heckman and Nate Mendoza. Emily is the president of the Parent Teacher Student Association at Santa Barbara High, and Nate is the dean of students. And you mentioned right before the break, Emily, about bilingual, and it's more than just language differences. When I had the last superintendent on and the current superintendent on, both of them said the biggest challenge they see or saw was how to deal with the separation between the two ethnic or group, the Spanish and the English-speaking, or whatever you want to call it. You know, whose kids are grown, I look at Santa Barbara as the People's Republic of Santa Barbara, where everything is perfect and there's no problem and everyone loves everybody else. But it's not true. There is some, if not friction, everyone isn't just getting along as what they should be. Is that a fair observation?
I don't think it's about not getting along. I think it's about being separated and separate. So I think that there's just a sort of a cultural unknowing, you know. So some of these innovations that the current superintendent has implemented, such as the ethnic studies requirement and this goal to have, you know, bilingual education. When I moved here from New York 10 years ago, I chose...
How come you don't have a New York accent and I do?
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a really good question. I'll have to work on it. So I chose Peabody Charter School because it was in the charter that the kids would be functionally bilingual when they graduated, and there was no Spanish education at Peabody Charter School. And when I asked the then principal why, she was like, just... So there's a real kind of indifference to this idea that I couldn't understand it. I was like, well, half of the students are native-born Spanish speakers. All of these kids who don't know Spanish can benefit from that in some way. So I do think that finally here at the end of this decade, I'm seeing this the superintendent and the school board trying to really address these issues. And so I think back to what you were talking about, I don't think there's any animosity and I don't think there's friction. I just think there's a divide.
Yeah, and I would even say to Emily's points, it's about, like she mentioned, understanding each other's cultures, respecting, and that to me builds connection. I've seen it really play out in sports when you're a head coach of a team. the students have no choice but to kind of get to know each other and get along. So to me, that's the one of the best environments that I've seen students from different cultures really connect and get along and work as one is through athletics.
So the demographics also plays another issue in terms of just resources. You can't succeed in academia without protein in your body. Mm-hmm. So we have a very high need for help paying for food. Now, I assume that's not an issue during school hours and during the school season.
Yeah, I would say that our students, one of the huge perks of going to school for a lot of our students is the free and reduced lunch.
Okay, so what about weekends and what about the summers?
Yeah, I mean, how it's very hard.
So, you know, when they get their summer reading list, are they going to be able to do that? I mean, isn't there an issue here with just...
Yeah, although the Santa Barbara School District does a really good job of providing summer lunches for people. But, you know, back to this idea of what you were talking about before, sort of the cultural divide, you know, I think it's over 50% of our students are on free or reduced lunch, right? So
how does that work? When you walk into the lunchroom, does anyone know that before you or after you that you're on that you're not paying the full fare?
No.
So it's all done privately? That they're not shamed at all?
No.
Not at all.
In fact, the PTSA is responsible for running the student store, which is an outpost of the cafeteria. So parent volunteers sell lunches to the students every day. And, you know, it's if anybody in one of those shifts were to shame a student, they would be kicked out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's... If we had our way, everybody would be free lunch, frankly. That's the moms, you know, again. But, you know, you talk about parent engagement. And so whether it's Latino families or Caucasian families, if you're struggling financially, it's really hard to get involved on campus. I mean, if you're faced with a lot of economic insecurity, you know, that may be part of the reason we don't have fuller family participation, because that's a real issue for people. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. And what about some of the things that society in general is facing? LGBT, are you having issues around that? Are people accepting of whatever is happening, or is there shaming going on? Or
I really have not experienced that, and I experience a lot of the day-to-day discipline that goes on in our school. I feel like we're a very progressive, not only city, but a progressive school district. You know, we have gender-neutral bathrooms all over campus, and I just really haven't seen that play out as far as bullying to the LGBTQ community. It's something that I think that our city and our school district has done a pretty decent job at, about communicating and seeing us all as human beings, and we go to school together, and that's it.
Well, what about the Me Too issue? Do the students get education as to how to behave with the opposite sex, where what was established norms, you know, 10, 15 years ago is different when you go out into the world, how you need to behave with a member of the opposite sex?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think it gets addressed specifically, but I definitely have had a few occasions where I definitely have had dialogue and facilitate meetings between male and female students about comments that are being made. But again, I always look at it as if students are making comments like that, I'm usually thinking deeper about, okay, they've probably heard that within their household. And so the issue is probably deeper than the student saying it. It's by where they're getting it from, which is usually at home.
And what about safety? In big cities, you send your child to private school because they're just not safe. Is it safe to go? Is there any violence takes place in your school?
Yeah, I mean, I think every school has their issues of an occasional pushing match or maybe a fight. And I think we all have gone to school. I went to school, you went to school, and I think we can remember maybe a couple fights that might have played out in our high schools. I consider our school very safe. We've done a good job of securing really – locking up certain fences, not giving people access to our school to just walk on and off our campus. Specifically down in the Matt Academy, we've done a really nice job on Nopal Street, locking that front door up so people can just walk on and off. I know there's been some adults that are a little bit disappointed in doors being locked, but at the end of the day, we are doing it for safety reasons, and we want to make sure that we know who's coming on our campus, and we want to know when people are leaving our campus.
And active shooter is something that is plaguing the entire country. Is that something that, A, you practice, and B, what does it do to the psychology of kids? When I was in 1962, I was told to duck under my desk to protect myself from a hydrogen bomb, which wasn't exactly productive. But I imagine there's similar training, but it was fearful for us when we were taught to do that.
Yeah, it is the sad reality of being in 2019 right now that we are practicing active shooter drills and what to do. And those are a part of our our drills that we would do for evacuation, fire drills, earthquake drills. That is unfortunately the reality of what type of drills we have to do. So we do that within our schools. And I will say to that point, that to me, again, goes back to a mental health issue amongst our adolescents, that it's a mental health issue when we talk about, unfortunately, school shootings.
And when you talk about mental health, you mentioned how many kids get mental health help, but there's a waiting list too, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, 162 referrals were put in. That does not mean those are all students getting met with services. So our FSA therapists on campus, about a total of 38 students on a total caseload, if I'm being honest. And then our youth outreach workers, I would say, see up to about 25 to 30. So we have about 100 students that we have to refer out within the community. The good news is that when we refer out to the community, it is a much cheaper process than families just going into the places and just trying to get the resources themselves. So if I could really say that where is there a need within our school and the schools amongst our school district, it would be to get more counselors, more therapists, more professionals around substance abuse. Because though I love my students and I try to support them as much as I can, the truth is I'm not a mental health professional. And it's my job to then connect with our students with mental health professionals. And if we could get more of those on our campus, I really believe we're going to see better production amongst the academics, because again, I will go back to the mental health is the foundation of learning. We have to make sure it's healthy.
To the parents who are, I assume, are told that, is that, by the way, is that true? If there's a mental health issue, are the parents told?
Yeah. So for about 90% of the students that get referred for mental health, we are obviously having to get parent consent. And sometimes that drags out because sometimes parents don't respond quick enough or get things signed quick enough. But the students do have the option. If they feel that the parent would impede the process, we actually do not have to contact the parent. We could leave the parent out of it, but we would only do that in situations where we feel like the student wouldn't receive the service because the parent would say no. And I have seen on many occasions where a student was in dire need of receiving mental health support and the parent actually said no to that. So it's very disappointing when that happens, but the student does have the option to let us know, yes, please don't contact our parent because of XYZ.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we've been here today with Emily Heckman and Nate Mendoza from the Santa Barbara High School. And, you know, we're talking about all things that sound negative, but they're not negative, because the fact is that this is a school that's actually dealing with problems that every school has and the society has. So I don't want people to get the impression that we're looking at a problem. We're looking at people who are solving problems. And in that way, we're talking about all the things that they do. It sounds negative, but it really isn't. So I have to ask you this, Emily. You've done such a great job doing this, and your son is a senior. And I remember when I was in school, when you have a child graduate, the leadership seems to go with the child. What are you going to do?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to stay involved with students and education, and that's for certain going forward.
So
locally, I should say.
And so you have some events coming up.
We do. So part of the reason we were delighted to be able to come and join you today is three times a year the PTSA has an open association meeting, and we've taken advantage of that and used it to build like a forum where we can talk about an issue that's important to the community and timely to the community. So on January 27th at Santa Barbara High School at 5:30, exact location to be announced, we're going to be having a mental wellness, a student wellness forum, and we're going to be talking about these issues with parents and families who are going to be invited to come. Obviously, there's no charge to attend. We're going to have Nate there. We're going to have Dr. Simmons there. We're going to bring in other people from the community. One of the groups that's going to be participating is a student club on campus that's a mental wellness club, and this is a group of students who do incredible things. Like, they bring in therapy dogs during finals to be there for kids. And, you know, they're really involved in helping the community stay, you know, primed for great learning. And I have to say, you were asking some questions earlier about safety and things like that. I mean, Santa Barbara High School is a particularly unique and special place. It's an open campus. And so, as Nate said, you know, there's a lot of trust in the kids that they can move on and off campus freely and that they're going to be responsible about it. And if you ever come and visit campus and walk around, it's got a really relaxed, open, and kind of friendly vibe, which is really nice. So we're very lucky for that. But will be having this event.
The one time I visited the school, I noticed two things. One, that everything was spotlessly clean. And two, I got the feeling that all the kids were going to start jumping and singing like in glee. It was like such a happy-looking group. Thank you so much, Emily, for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all you do. Nate, they're lucky to have you. They lost a football coach, but they gained someone more important. And so thank you for you really making sure our kids get the best.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to AHA Presents About Education. I hope you all have a great Christmas and New Year's. We'll be having repeats, but we'll see you live in the new year.
It's 3.